I just want to say really quick, it's such an honor whenever the Holy Spirit is working in something in me, a word in me. It's not too often, but it gets really exciting. And when I heard Lisa's message last week, I was just like, oh, God, you gave her the same thing as me? But he expounded, and it actually got really exciting. So I'm just going to pray. If you guys will pray with me. Lord, we just thank you that the way that you move in our lives, God, you link us together, you unite us, and that you are speaking with a strong, clear voice, Lord, that you are beckoning your church, that you are growing her in maturity and beauty because it's for your glory, Lord. And we are here for your glory. So we ask that you would just open up our ears to hear, and that you would just download something in each and every person this morning, Lord. Amen. So, I actually want to talk about something rather logical, practical, real sensical today. Feelings. Right? All of your feelings are, you know, real logical and practical and sensical, right? Like mine? No, I just felt like God told me that you are all feelers, whether you feel that way or not. And why I want to talk about feelings is because Lisa went on to talk about your thoughts, and that when you renew your thoughts and you renew your mind, you can walk in perfect peace. And it made me think about a small part of my testimony. I had to learn as a little girl, because I was very emotional, very emotional. I had to learn to put that into practical use, because if I wasn't thinking properly, my emotions would get heightened, my emotions would start to consume me and control me, and I wasn't walking in perfect peace when I would do that. So, feelings are a tool. They are not a guide. You can use your feelings. You can use a tool to fix something, or you can use a tool to bash it in, you know. Feelings are a tool, not a guide. It's not evil to have feelings. Feelings aren't wrong. When I was a kid, I was so emotional, I thought that feelings were bad. If people called you emotional, it meant that you were immature, that you didn't have self-control. It was all negative thoughts instantly in my head. And it felt like it was something I couldn't escape from because, you know, it's who I am. But thank the Lord that He instilled some amazing people in my life who taught me relationship versus religion. And I am the type of person, I won't say I used to be, I still am the type of person where I don't really like to do much alone. If I have thoughts, they're not kept to myself. I like to share. I like to get people's wisdom. And there is a great amount of blessing and wisdom when you open up your heart to many, you know, with wisdom, of course. But when you have many advisors, you will gain much wisdom. And so luckily, when I was young, I really quickly knew I cannot do this alone. I was not going to fall into the trap of isolation. So I would go to my mom, my dad, and unfortunately for her sake, my little sister. And when I was having these thoughts, sometimes just so silly. It's not always like some huge serious thing. Sometimes it's something as silly as I read in my school book that certain mushrooms are poisonous. And we had mushrooms growing in our backyard. And I touched one, I grazed one with my foot, and I don't care what movie you can imagine, but I was freaking out. I was going to die. I was going to have some insane illness, and it was only affecting me. I didn't really feel that way for other people, so that's how you know it's such a lie. Because other people, you know, if they hit it, whatever, their strong immune system. I was gonna die. It's silly sometimes. It's not so convincing all the time, but I felt that way because I fed those thoughts. Oh, that could kill me. That could take my life. That could ruin me. And I would go to my mom, and freaking out, crying, and she probably was like, oh my goodness, this kid of mine. And she would just really peacefully tell me the truth. She would tell me reality. And I got a tool to know that my feelings aren't always reality. But my feelings aren't always evil either. And so I had this question for a long-standing time, God, why did you make me this way? Why did you make me such a feeler? And like I said before, I don't personally believe that anyone is not a feeler. You just feel different things, you know? But feelings can fuel your passion and drive. They're not evil. Feelings should not master you. And so when you go to others and you open up, you can get this thing called reason, this thing called truth, and you can build emotional resilience. And God has given us, or God has made us, relational beings, because he wants us to come to him. But he also wants us to go to each other, to one another, so that we can work towards peace. So, something I want to talk about for feelings is three truths or three practical applications that you can do when you're having these feelings, sometimes because of thoughts, sometimes not. But points of recognition, or points are recognition, truth, and submission. So when these things are coming into your mind, my parents and my sister a lot of the time taught me to recognize, okay, what am I feeling? Where is this coming from? Because my source is not my feeling. So what are these feelings coming from? Can I use them for a specific purpose, or is it something that I should say, okay, this is not who I am? And speak the truth. To know the truth, you have to be in relationship with Holy Spirit. There's nothing more true and reliable than the one who gave everything, who is truth himself. And thank Jesus, he gets to reside and dwell in you. Don't take that for granted. And then submission, obedience, it's about his agenda. Despite my feelings, when I submit myself to the Lord because I know the truth, I will walk in peace because that is his agenda for my life. So someone I want to talk about, and this was a total last minute thing because I did not see this coming, is Jonah. And the story of Jonah always bothered me. It just seemed like such a sad ending. So if you guys don't know the story, Jonah was a prophet, and there was this very, very evil, wicked, vile place called Nineveh, and God said, I want you to go. God's agenda was for Jonah to go and tell the people of Nineveh that they were going to be destroyed if they did not repent. Well, Jonah, he knew the Lord. He was a prophet of the Lord. He served the Lord. He decided his feelings justified his actions, and he ran the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. For some reason, he thought he could get away from God. Now, in comparison, I want to point out a specific story of Jesus, because we all heard the verse saying Jesus wept, and we always use that as a example of the emotion of Jesus. But this one, not that that isn't powerful, but this one really speaks to me. In Luke 22, it's where Jesus goes to Mount of Olives because he knows he's about to be taken. And he, vice versa to Jonah, was, or I guess in the same, but in the better way, was also serving the Lord, was serving his agenda. He was committed to the truth of who God was and what he wanted to do. And you see Jonah, who runs because of how he felt. He did not want to go to Nineveh. It was not what he desired to do. He did not feel like going. And you see Jesus, instead, it talks about him going to the Mount of Olives to pray. He goes to his source. He goes to the one that he is submitted to. He does not run, and I'm sure this task was a little heavier than going to what Jesus was about to face. Both of them have to go through the process of, they heard a direction of the Lord. They had to think, they had to process how they were going to feel, and then they had to act. And all of these included choices. You always have a choice. I think a lot of us think our feelings are just who we are. That's what I thought. I feel like this, therefore I am. But it's not. You still have a choice. Jonah ran, and Jesus ran to the Lord. What are you a slave to? A lot of times I read verses in Romans or stuff like that where it talks about being a slave to God, and I was like, okay, what does this mean, God? What does it mean to be a slave to the Lord? Who are you devoted to? And what are you free from? So if we can turn to Romans 6, 16, it says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey his teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Now I know, or I pray and believe that we're Christians here, and I don't believe that we're slaves to sin anymore. But I still believe, as a Christian, you have a choice. You can get caught up in your emotions, and you can stop walking in that peace, or you can say, okay, I realize who I am, and I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to follow the agenda of the Lord. And it says it so beautifully in here. It talks about being a slave. You are a slave to whatever you obey. But freedom is by the Spirit, not by your feelings. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that freedom is from yourself. We don't have to trust our thoughts and our emotions that are leading us deeper and deeper into a hole. A lot of the times we hear people talking about their problems, or at least I do. Not that I'm judging, because I've been there. And most of the time I feel like it's a simple answer. It's, you're doing it to yourself. Why are you staying there? Look what God has done for you. There's no excuses. You do not have to stay there. You get to walk with the Spirit. He gave you everything you need. So you are either free to follow every misleading feeling, or you are free to live in the Spirit. You don't want to be set on the agenda of the Lord and be tossed and turned because you're allowing your feelings to steer and direct your relationship with God. It's counterproductive. Instead, start at relationship. Start at knowing the one who gave everything for you, love. Love can be that reason that you get to put all of your trust in God. You can put all of those feelings upon the Lord because he knows you and he cares for you. And that's why you can be free to walk in that peace, because you don't have to worry, you don't have to do it yourself. A lot of the times we have these feelings of whatever, of anxiety, of offense, of bitterness, and we want justification for them. We want it, and we want it the way we want it. Well, going down that path is a really harsh path, because what you're pretty much saying is, God, I know. And you don't really want what you deserve in that mindset, in that mind frame. Instead, you get to walk into grace, and you get to walk into the fact that, oh, I was hurt, I was offended, I was this or I was that, but I get to walk free. I get to walk restored and healed by the Lord. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. Me and Mackenzie were just watching a movie last night, and I didn't realize how much it actually kind of goes. It's called Freedom Riders. And it was actually about a bunch of gangs in this one high school. And it's a true story. And pretty much there's chaos and offense and betrayal and hatred in the school, even within its own classrooms. So it's just all of the good teachers. They only want to teach the older students that are honor rolls. It's hard to find anyone to be effective in this situation. And this teacher, who is fully set on her agenda being to help, because she wanted to be a lawyer, she decided being a teacher would be more helpful. She wanted to help, she wanted to make a change and a difference. And through relationship, through hearing their hurt and then empowering them to walk differently and seeing things in a different light, by the end of it, they're all graduated, they're all friends, they're all affected their whole lives, and a lot of them had to face disownment and even in their own families. But because they were given something that was so honest and so real and so welcoming, they could leave that all behind. And it just gave me this beautiful picture, because that is what God did for us. And so in the movie, there's this lady from the Holocaust. This teacher brings this lady from the Holocaust in to describe her story and what she went through. And she was the lady who housed Anne Frank. And she was talking about how, you know, what the day that they found Anne Frank, and that they were holding a gun to her head, and she still wouldn't tell them where they were, but they searched her house and found Anne Frank. They were going to kill her, and this young gentleman in the movie stood up and he said, "You're my hero." And she said, "No, I'm not a hero. I was just doing what was right." Sometimes it's about just doing what is right, just doing what is righteous, and that is whatever the Lord is calling you to. He has called you to walk in righteousness. I'm sure she was feeling afraid in those moments. I'm sure she was feeling guilty for maybe not having a better means, that Anne Frank still ended up getting found and caught. But she submitted it all to the Lord. So, start at relationship. Know the truth, which is Holy Spirit, and you will be set free. When you start a relationship, you have to spend time, spend more time with the Lord, knowing the truth, than you do on your own thoughts, on your own feelings, on your own plans. A lot of us, and I'm not going against therapy, but a lot of us here in the world hear that, oh, you need to go to someone who will just listen to you, who will enable you to keep going into these patterns of thought, and will tell you to leave everyone and everything behind because no one deserves you. I just think there's a better way of walking together. It says we're supposed to bear each other's burdens. Go to the Lord. He restores and redeems you. He sets you free. He takes off that offense because he paid for it already. And that's why we can walk together, because then when we see one another, we're going, yeah, you offended me. You hurt me. But I've done it too. I have done it too, and the Lord still chose to die for me. The Lord still chose to give everything for me. In 2 Corinthians 3:16-18, "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit is, there is freedom. So all of us who have that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Can someone just write that on their wall? Tell themselves that every morning. Speak this over yourself. The Lord has lifted the veil from your eyes. I just think of that verse, which is true, but it says that, you know, don't point out the speck in someone else's eye when you have the plank in yours. Go to the Lord, he will remove the veil. See clearly, see properly. If God says it, is it not as he says it is? Is our perspective higher than God's? When we feel it or don't feel it, is that what our standard is based on? Or is it by the truth of the Lord and what he's showing us? Job and God have this conversation, and it just seems so real to me. It feels like a conversation that you can have with God. I don't know if you know that, but you can have these conversations with God. And he's obviously going through agony, and everything's been stripped from him. And God humbles him and just says, did you place the stars in the sky? Did you create all of this? Who are you and who am I? Sorry. Who is the Lord? You can't serve two masters. You can't serve your feelings and serve the Lord. That's lukewarm. Be devoted. Do yourself a favor and start with relationship. You can be Jonah, and you can be a prophet of the Lord who runs from him constantly because it's not what he wants. Or you can be like Jesus, and in the face of much, your will be done. In Luke 22:41, or 40, I think, this is Jesus praying on the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give into temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine. He recognized how he was feeling about what was to come, but he knew the truth and he submitted to the Lord's agenda. And then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him, because God is not a God who abandons you. God knows your pain and hurt, but God is love. Don't let your pain and hurt become bigger than what God is doing in your life and where he's calling you to go. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Did I read that? No. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. I think a couple sermons ago, I believe it was Bruce, my dad, who talked a little about Psalms 23. And I don't know if it was Cheryl or Bob or Beth, but someone from my childhood had us memorize all of chapter 23. And so that one always sticks to me because it's so beautifully written. And a big part of it that sticks out to me is, I sit in the presence of my enemies. So it's, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Sorry, I'm going off of memory, not my version. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. But what does God do after that? He anoints your head with oil, and your cup overflows. Hallelujah. Let the truth be your reality, not your feelings, because if you're focusing on the enemy around you, I'm sure fear can creep in. Anxiety can creep in. But when you're focused on the Lord, nothing else matters, and he will bless you. It says he anoints your head with oil. In the presence of God, is so intimate in your life, you can't be paralyzed by the things trying to come against you, by fear, by depression. It can't attach to you. But you have to believe that. You have to know that. Jonah was not forsaken by God. God kept trying to get to Jonah. Jonah ended up going to Nineveh, and he kind of says what the Lord wanted him to. He says, you're all going to be destroyed in 40 days or whatever it is. Instantly, Nineveh was like, let's repent to the Lord. And you would think that would be like such an amazing thing for a prophet to go to the city of cities, the yuck and the muck, and the whole city to be changed by a couple words, but that wasn't what he wanted. So in Jonah 4, 9 and 11. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Oh, sorry, I'm gonna give a little more context. They repented. Jonah's angry. He goes and sits down watching the city because he wants to see it destroyed and realizes it's not. The Lord sends him a plant to grow up above his head. And he's like, oh, he's happy, you know, he's refreshed. And then it withers away by a worm. And this is where we're talking. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted. Even angry enough to die. Just to stop there really quick. The more you focus on how you feel, the less you're coming close to life. Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. Kind of another Job story. It came quickly, and it died quickly, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? To me, this shows so much of who God is in our life. He is that voice of reason. He still came to Jonah. Jonah was not in the right mindset. He was not sitting in the right feelings, and God still came to him. God is still reaching for us, even in those places where we are sitting in offense. We won't go up to that person because of this. We're afraid or intimidated by this person, so we don't want to speak the truth. This could happen, so we're not going to go here. God still comes because he wants to empower you and he wants to fill you with truth. And he just says, look what I want to do. I want to walk in mercy in your life, and I want that to change cities. I don't know if you ever thought about it like this, but when you give your life to the Lord, or if you've gone on mission trips and you've seen people give their lives to the Lord, it's not just that life that's affected. You, I would assume, are involved in many people's lives, and even if you're not, when you go to the grocery store and you pass by people, when you're showing love to your brothers and sisters in Christ, that affects the world. That is what God is calling you to walk in, and it's all for his glory. He died, he resurrected, because he wanted you to live with him free. And he wanted that to be a beacon for others. He wants more, because he didn't want to say just this group of people, just this couple of people, that's good enough for me. No, he wants to know all of us deeply. He calls you to walk in freedom and love so your healing can spread. Let God heal you. It's okay when emotions come. Let God work with you on them. He's there for you for a reason. He's there to walk with you for a reason. So your love for one another can be a light. In Galatians 6, I'm sorry, I didn't put this one down. In Galatians 6, 2 and 3, it says, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you didn't know the law of Christ, it's love God, love others. And by sharing each other's burdens, you obey the law of Christ. Verse 3, if you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. That is not where your importance lies. It's not to fulfill only you. Love never fails. And I feel like God gave me this just because he wants us to be a mature body. I've grown up in this church, and sometimes when I feel like I get a word, I'm just like, oh God, I feel like I'm 24. You are not. What do I really have to share with you that you haven't heard? But sometimes it's not just about sharing in those things. It's about maturing one another in love and doing it together and walking with one another. I'm not really here just so that you can hear me for however long I'm going and go, oh, Briley did really good, or not for me, whatever you think. But this is really an honor because it's an opportunity for you guys to know me a little bit. For me, that's an opportunity for me to challenge myself. And then maybe we can just do something called walking in this thing called life together. Because that's what God has for us in this place. And it's for maturity. So I heard this little video on Instagram, and it really kind of hit me because I thought it was so good. We are, as a body, supposed to encourage and edify one another. But this guy was sitting there in like a podcast style, and he said, you know, everyone has a gift from the Spirit. Everyone has something to give and to offer. And there's many, many, many gifts. Gift of encouragement, gift of prophecy, gift of tongues, gift of healing, gift of hospitality and mercy. There's so many gifts. And they're all wonderful, and they're not for nothing, but he said, and it really hit me, how much more impressive is it when you meet someone who is just full of love and joy? When they see people, when there's disturbances in the room, when someone's yelling in their face, they're just full of love and joy. They're unscathed by what's going on because they walk with God and you can see it. It's so impressive to me when I see people who just are free because they know the truth. So to bring it back to feelings, a lot of us hear of this thing called lashing out. Lashing out in rage, lashing out in anger, or falling into depression, or having contempt rise within you for whatever's going on. Let me tell you that when you have submitted yourself to the Lord, you are called to the fruits of the Spirit. I never thought about it like that. There are so many times that I heard the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It felt like something so unattainable for me. Because I was thinking I had to do it. I had to work that up as a fruit within myself. But it's the Holy Spirit. When you walk with Him and you talk with Him, it affects you. You become like the one you behold. And the more you do that, the more you will walk out. It will produce the fruit of the Spirit in you. So when those feelings are coming and you're feeling that rage build up within you, this is what you're called to. This is why you have Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit isn't there because you don't need Him. He's there because He wants to walk it out with you. He's not afraid of your emotions. You don't need to be afraid of your emotions. You don't need to be afraid of your feelings. And you don't need to be afraid of your lack thereof. If you are not feeling it, cool, you can still show love. If you are not feeling joyful, if you're feeling, I'm tired, I'm not feeling joyful, that's fine. The joy of the Lord dwells within you. I just think of worship, and worship isn't just singing and dancing, and that is worship, but it's not just that, it's the way you live. And I was thinking about singing on the worship team, and if I stood up here, and what it would be like if I was heavy laden and droopy faced, and my arms are down, and I'm scowling at all of you, saying, worship God. It would just be kind of awkward. But worship isn't just for the stage. Worship is your life. And that was a mentality that I was like, oh, I want to walk that out. I want to walk out that. Why would I wake up frustrated? I'm worshiping the Lord. Why would I wake up and feel, and I don't mean you can't feel things, but let it control me. Let it affect the way I worship God. Why would I let my exhaustion, my envy, my those things that aren't mine change the way that my worship goes to the Lord? You don't have to. You are called to self-control. You are called to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. And so if we can turn to 1 John 3. I'm going to read 11 to the end because it's so hard to pick one verse. I just like all of them. Love one another. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. If we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that pleases Him.
So good.
When your agenda is set on the Lord in every area of your life, in your thought patterns, when you feel things, not taking it upon yourself to try and justify them, but to submit them to the Lord. All of this is promised to you. You will walk in it. And you will show others that it's possible for them. How much more beautiful and spotless and mature can we be for the Lord if we live this way? This is the Lord's reality. And so you get to decide, is his reality more reliable than yours? I would say yes.